This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
SubhanAllah, racing towards the final week of Ramadan 360 and then the final few days as well, inshallah. I hope everyone, yes, as Farida said, is doing well, that you guys are maximizing as much as you can, and that you've been inspired through some of the things that you've been hearing and learning from Al Maghrib Institute's sessions, our series right now, our YouTube series with Sheikh Ammar Shukri, which honestly I've been binging, rewatching, enjoying so much, and I hope that you guys have as well, and that you've been doing as much as you can to maximize your ajr in these blessed days and these final nights, subhanAllah. May Allah accept from you all, make it heavy on your scales, make you written as one of the forgiven, and grant you all Jannah, Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Charlene, welcome back from UK, from the UK, mashallah. Shout out to the Brits, mashallah, who are coming in later and later now, subhanAllah, with the time change and still pushing through and joining us live here for Ramadan 360. Oh, it's a pleasure to be with y'all, and it's a pleasure to have you guys continue with us. May Allah make it easy on you these final nights, and Jazakumullah khair for incorporating us into your ibadah as well. Today is going to be a major, is going to be an amazing session, alhamdulillah, because of course we have the much anticipated, the much loved Ustada Yasmeen Mujahid with us for the first portion of our Ramadan 360 program, our 30 days live virtual course on living by the book, alhamdulillah. And we are back with a bang with her. You've seen her maybe through the webinars that we've had. You've had some short, beautiful reminders from her on the topics that we've been covering on O You Who Believe and on the stories of accepted dua. And now, alhamdulillah, inshallah, you get a chance to benefit from her today again on the topic of truthfulness, which is going to be the ideal, the principle that we are focusing on for today, inshallah. I do want to shout out, I know we typically do all the charity sponsors, but today we want to do a day just focusing on the amazing work of Forgotten Woman, which is our UK charity sponsor. So again, shout out to the Brits who make it with us every single day, subhanAllah, make it live, especially to attend in your evening time for our Ramadan 360 program. Jazakumullah khair to Fasleen for dropping that link for Forgotten Woman in the chat over here. It's launchgood.com/Al-Maghrib. -FW, but again, it's linked here in the chat here on YouTube, and it's linked on the description. Here on Zoom, and it's linked in the description on YouTube. Forgotten Woman, for those who may remember from previous years of Ramadan 360, is a charity that is really, really, really close to my heart, especially because they take care of women in war-torn areas who are victimized, I'm victim of some of the worst crimes, especially women and children, and female children specifically. And they ensure that those who are providing aid are the front lines, are females, are women staffers, women aid workers, so that those who are receiving the aid are given, that's the feeling of protection, of safety, and they're not taking advantage of. Unfortunately, a lot of, especially secular organizations that provide aid on the front lines of conflicts, sometimes it's the aid workers themselves. And sometimes, unfortunately, there's been a lot of unfortunate news coming out of the experience of the oppressed folks who are receiving aid being victimized by those who are giving the aid. So alhamdulillah, Al Maghrib has been very stringent with the charities and with the organizations that we partner with. We're so cautious, especially because a lot of people have questions about, is the aid coming to the front lines? Are people receiving it? What's happening? Where, is it stuck at the border in Rafah? And alhamdulillah, you'll see the transparency that you've seen from Islamic Relief, our Canadian, charity partner, and Forgotten Woman as well, have been able to get 7 airplanes worth of aid into Gaza because of their great relationship prior to October 7th with other charity organizations and partners on the ground. And I'm super excited that we're able to partner with them and that we're able to come together as a community, as we do year after year, and facilitate khair for our and facilitate relief for our Muslim brothers and sisters, especially those who are experiencing the travesty that's happening in Gaza right now. With that said, I do want to give you guys a chance to join me on screen, start your videos, stay connected, make sure that you enable as best as you can. I know not everyone can join every day, but may Allah make it heavy on the skills who do, because I'll tell you right now, the folks on my screen are the ones that are easiest to make dua for, because I remember their faces. I remember their reactions, their connections, even when they're like straight-faced, even when they're tired after a long day. It's easy to remember you. And of course, those who are very vocal and very engaged, may Allah reward you all. And if you're just able to attend and benefit in short snippets of time in between your busy schedules, again, may Allah accept and reward you all. But it's a little special, a little extra little shout out to those who make it on screen. I see Christina, Ilham, Leela, Brother Hassan, Aisha, Ahmed. Shout out to Little Waves. I see, alhamdulillah, Brother Salim, of course, Hafsa, mashallah, coming in from a really beautiful background. So we're going to jump into our program once again. Day number 22. We're racing towards the end. I will say, I'm sure we've heard a lot of you know, like harrowing stories coming out of Gaza. I'd love to hear from you guys in the chat. What is the story? What is the event that struck you the most? What is the thing that has really, you know, made this genocide real for you and that has allowed you to tune into your da'as? What are you channeling into it? It'd be good to kind of hear everyone else's perspectives. I know a lot of information has been suppressed online. So we struggle to find all the information about what's happening on the ground, but a lot of us have seen stories and snippets of some of the events that are taking place. So please do share that as well, inshallah. And of course it's unimaginable. It's really painful to witness. It's horrifying to see what our innocent brothers and sisters have been experiencing, getting slaughtered in their own homes, having their entire communities decimated, all the potential sources of their survival being destroyed systematically one by one. And it's really important for us as a community to come together and to replace what's been lost and to protect those who can't protect themselves. And while the entire Western world is coming and ignoring and diminishing the suffering of our Palestinians and removing aid from them, for us to make up that difference and to protect our brothers and sisters as we would want ourselves to be protected if we were in that situation. I know it's very difficult, as Mr. Ghazala is saying, to watch the videos and to witness their suffering, but that's the very least of our efforts that we can do. And it's important, if whatever capacity that you have, to continue to be active, to be vocal. I know it's been 6 months in, but that they rely on us getting tired, on us giving up, on us not giving financially anymore, on us just getting worn down, and we can't afford to be worn down, as we all know. With that said, again, Forgotten Women is one of the amazing charities that does some of the great work on the ground, and I highly recommend you guys check them out, whether or not you're from the UK or not. I've supported them from Canada. They have especially LaunchGood is really convenient because it has your local currency that's already built in there, so you don't have to worry about paying any kind of exchange fees. So please do make sure that you're supporting them generously in these last 10 nights, and especially because the UK, you guys are already in your nighttime. With that said, we will have an amazing talk to look forward to today. We'll have a reminder from our friends in Forgotten Women later on, but I want to bring you guys back into our session today with Ustada Yasmeen Mujahid, who's going to be speaking on the topic of truthfulness. She's one of the instructors. Again, you don't really need to introduce her. I'm sure she's heard so many times that same phrase of, you know, she needs no introduction. But for those who are not familiar, who are newer to the Maghrib community or to the Muslim community, she's a specialist in spirituality and relationships and psychology and personal development. She's been an international speaker and author, and her written word is even more powerful, I would say, than her spoken word. MashaAllah, she's been a writer for the Huffington Post and an author of the books Reclaim Your Heart, Love and Happiness, and very recently Healing the Emptiness, which she just launched on site as a class as well with the Maghrib Institute. You may have had the pleasure, if you're in one of our major hubs and cities, to benefit from it already. And she's going to be touring with us soon post Ramadan as well, inshallah. So we're really looking forward to benefiting from her here. You may have benefited from her online through a Maghrib Online and Faith Essentials as well, but we are always blessed to have her with us at these sessions, alhamdulillah. And to get a chance to spend some time with her as we have been in Ramadan 360 and through our webinars. So with that said, I want to bring on Ustada Yasmeen. I know I've taken a little bit of your time, but I want to jump right into your talk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ustada, how are you doing this fine Monday? Oh, we can't hear you just yet. You're muted still. Give me 1 second. Oh, you know what? That's me. That's not you. That's me. Try one more time. Bismillah. It's sorry, you're still muted. Hold on, let me just ask. There we go. This is me loafing. 1 second.
All right.
Third time.
I was like, I'm trying to unmute, but it's not letting me.
I gave it to the wrong Yasmeen. There's like 4 or 5 Yasmeens in this session. Allahumma barik. So alhamdulillah, I found the right one. How are you doing, Ustada?
Alhamdulillah. I'm well, alhamdulillah. How are you, Hafsa?
Alhamdulillah. I'm very excited to jump in, mashallah. I'm excited for the topic of truthfulness. It's been linked to a lot of the themes that we've been covering so much in Ramadan 360, but especially zoning in on these final 10 nights, we're all trying to get as much inspiration for our ibadah and for our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to be the best versions of ourselves that we can be. So cannot wait to jump in, Ustada.
Bismillah. Thank you so much. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So I feel so honored and actually humbled to be speaking about this topic. A lot of people, including myself, don't really understand the depth of this concept called sidq. Now, sidq, the concept itself, the translation of the word sidq is usually, obviously, truthfulness. But oftentimes people limit their understanding of truthfulness to just the truthfulness of the tongue. Now, as you and I know, we are not just a tongue, right? We are essentially driven by this lump of flesh in our body called the qalb, the heart. And the Prophet ﷺ, in fact, told us the importance of the qalb, because he says, "Inna fil jasadi mudgha." Indeed, in the body, there's a lump of flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ, if it is set right, صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, the entire body will be set right. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ, فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, and if it is corrupted, then the entire body will be corrupted. أَيَا أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. So indeed, we know that the qalb is actually the master of the body. Now, when we talk about sidq here is referring to not just truthfulness of the tongue, but truthfulness of the qalb, not just truthfulness of the words, but truthfulness of the heart. And that is a very, very deep concept, which I want to try to touch upon today, inshallah. So the definitions of sidq, for example, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when he defines sidq in Madarij al-Salikin. So Ibn al-Qayyim writes a book about the stations of those who are journeying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-Salikin, those who are really on this journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have not created jinn and human beings for any other purpose except ubudiyya. And ubudiyya is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to submit entirely, lovingly, full-heartedly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship at its deepest essence, not just to pray or make dua to something, but to truly submit your entire self to that. That is actually the purpose for which we were created, is ubudiyya. So when Ibn al-Qayyim writes this book, Madarij al-Salikin, he's talking about the different stations on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Madarij, the stations of a salikin, those who are on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what he explains in this book is that the greatest station is sidq. The greatest station is sidq. Why? Because sidq, as he defines it, it's the complete resolve. And here, resolve, azm. And this is when you have made a complete, when you've made a decision and you're completely resolute in that decision, azm. A strong want or desire, and this is irada. And I'm going to talk a little bit about irada, because irada is very important to this concept. It's a strong irada, a desire or a want, by which the heart will have a strong, truthful drive to seek a way or a door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a strong inclination that overcomes one's self. And I want you to listen carefully to that part and to hold on to that part. That's going to be the very deep essence of sidq, that it overcomes one's self, one's own desire, one's own irada, one's own nafs, and forces that person to, instead of seeking oneself, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let me explain. So there are some examples that I want to use, inshallah, before I continue to explain. One of the examples, this is a narration of a story that happened at the time when there was, you know, at this time when there was care, you know, when people were doing business at this time, it wasn't how we did business or how we do business now. You know, we do business online and then we ship the goods using DHL or using UPS, the postal service. This was like, in order to do business, you had to travel with caravans full of your goods for months at a time. And it was extremely difficult to do this. So one of these cases was a caravan where this person had been traveling for months and had finally gotten their wealth, you know, their money, and they were returning to their family, when a group of bandits came and basically stole all of the goods. Now, while these bandits were, you know, taking the goods, they also ended up taking the food as well. And so what this person narrates is that he saw the group of thieves sitting and they were eating, but he noticed that their leader, so the leader of the bandits, of the thieves, was not eating, and he went off by himself. And when he found out why that leader was not eating, the leader, again, of the bandits, of the thieves, said, I'm not eating because I'm fasting. All right. So now keep that in mind. This is a man who literally leads thieves, and yet he's fasting. And so the man says to him, who's just been literally robbed and taken over by these bandits, his reaction is like our reaction, which is, what are you doing? You're a thief. You're leading bandits of thieves, and yet you're fasting. And you know what the man says, the thief? He says, it's a door that I leave open to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a door that I leave open to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let me explain that for a second, and then I'll fast forward to what happens many years later. What he's referring to here is, he is recognizing at some level that what he is doing is wrong. He is truthful about the fact that his lifestyle is sinful. It is wrong that he is going against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is rebelling against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he's not pretending. He's not making excuses for what he wants to do, but he is at least truthful and admitting that what he's doing is wrong. And yet, and because of that, he wants to keep a door open to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hopes that at some point he can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah can reach to him and guide him through that door to leave the sin that he is now living in. Now, fast forward many years later, this man who was robbed is now at Umrah. And while he's there, he sees a man who is so intensely repentant. This man just looks like he is really, you know, like the essence of Tawbah. And he's turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with so much humility. And he goes closer to that man and he recognizes that it is the leader of the bandits. Now, why? And this is subhanAllah. This is exactly what is meant here by Sidq. Even when that man was in the midst of his sinning, he was at least truthful about the fact that, number one, what he was doing was wrong. He was not justifying it. He was not making excuses for it, but rather he was truthful enough to recognize that what he was doing was wrong. And he continued to leave a door open of ibadah. Now, why do I say this? Because I think a lot of us, when we find ourselves in a place where we're not living a good life, or maybe we are sinning or we're living a sinful life, sometimes we go down one of two pathways. Oftentimes, what we see, especially in the modern world, is the pathway of basically comforting the nafs, and in this way, basically justifying the sin. Right? If you want to, take off your hijab, you won't say that I'm struggling with this command of Allah. Instead, you'll say I'm being true to myself, or I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I'm actually feeling more closer this way. So it's a justification rather than an admission and a truthfulness that, yes, I am struggling with hijab. I am struggling. But rather, instead of that truthfulness, we go and we justify and we beautify the sin. Similarly, we see this all around when it comes to things like haram love, when it comes to love that is outside the laws of the Sharia, whether that is in dating or in extramarital affairs, or that is in any type of attraction to someone who is not halal for us, whether that has to do with gender or that has to do with whether or not that those two people are married. But at the end of the day, do we acknowledge and are we truthful that this is wrong, but I'm struggling? Or do we justify and do we say, but it's love, right? Love is love, right? The idea of love is what? It's the justification of something, even when it goes against the Sharia, when it goes against the laws that are determined by our Creator. So what is truthfulness? Truthfulness is for me to admit, even when I'm in the wrong, to admit that what I'm doing, yes, I am struggling. And subhanAllah, when we have truthfulness, even when we're struggling, even when we are sinning, in fact, if we continue to have truthfulness and we are not trying to sort of make the laws of God subservient to our nafs, but rather trying our best to make our nafs subservient to the laws of Allah. When we have that, even when we are in a place where we might be down or we might be living a life of sin, so long as we have truthfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we do our best not to close all the doors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can pull us out of that life of sin. And that is what this story indicates. Now, a lot of people get confused between two very similar concepts. One is the concept of ikhlas, which is sincerity. And the other is the concept of sidq, which is truthfulness, as I've described. What scholars explain is the difference between sincerity, ikhlas, and sidq, truthfulness, is that sincerity is to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without seeking the praises or the gifts that we would get from the creation, right? So it's to seek for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without and basically detaching ourselves from reward or praise from people, from the eyes of the people. So it's sincerity, ikhlas, which is oftentimes what we talk about, is this, being safe from riya, for example, to show off. It's that I'm not praying or fasting or giving a charity or zakat for the people or so that the people will see me or give me something of praise or acknowledgement or recognition. That's sincerity. That's ikhlas. But then there's another level. And that other level is when I seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without getting something or without the gifts, so and so, or the ownership of my nafs. So when you are sincere, when you have ikhlas, you are trying to seek the pleasure of Allah without getting gifts from the people. And when you have sidq, when you have truthfulness, it's to seek the pleasure of Allah without the payments and the gifts from the nafs. And this is where ujub comes in. So I'll give you an example to explain this idea. Imagine that you want to pray tahajjud. You want to pray qiyamul layl. So you find a time when you pray and no one knows about it, right? That's ikhlas, right? That's sincerity. No one knows about it. You're doing it purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then as you're praying and, you're really killing it with your prayer, you're really killing it with your recitation. So now your nafs sees it, your ego sees it. And now your nafs and your ego starts to say, wow, look at that. And so now what happens is what can happen is that you can now do it for the nafs and for the ego, basically to be impressed with yourself. So sincerity is to worship Allah, not looking for praise from people, not looking to impress people. Sidq, which is even deeper, is to worship Allah without looking to impress yourself, without looking to impress your ego, your nafs, without looking to be like, I'm awesome, to yourself. And subhanAllah, this is something a lot of us miss. When we look at, there's like this beautiful statement. It is very much a struggle. This beautiful statement where one of the companions says that one of the most difficult the most difficult traps is when we are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are stuck in the chains of seeking the approval of people. So he's basically talking about what is the worst type of bondage? What is the worst type of oppression? It's essentially when we become distracted. Yes, when we become distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we are so focused on pleasing people. He says that is one of the worst types of slavery, is to become distracted from Allah because we're so focused on pleasing people. But he said an even worse bondage, an even worse oppression, is to become distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we're so focused on pleasing our own self. Listen to that. How deep is that? Like, we're so focused. Not, okay, we might get over people. I don't care what anyone thinks. But then what is it? What is it? Oh, I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm going to do me, right? I'm going to do me. I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm going to do what I think, what I want, what I desire. My all that matters is me. And that's even worse. That's an even deeper type of bondage. Because even if no one's around, okay, you're no longer a people pleaser. But now, if you become a slave to yourself, that's also a type of slavery and oppression. Sidq is to free yourself of that type of bondage, where you are not distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the nafs. Just like sincerity or ikhlas is to not be distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the people. Oh, I want to please people. I want people to look at me and say this, or I want people to say I'm that. Okay, you might not have that, but sit is to not be distracted from Allah by your own nafs. That I like this. I want this. I think this. You know, someone tells you this is haram, but you want it. This is haram, but you desire it, right? You love it. And you are not willing to give that up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what sidq does is it becomes one of the biggest doors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even when we are in the midst of living a sinful life, if we continue to hold on to sidq, be truthful with Allah. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about where you're at. And be truthful in your irada. Now, going to irada. Irada is that very determined desire and want. Sidq in irada. Truthfulness in your desire, in your want, is very important. Do you truly seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you truthful in wanting to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if you are truthful in wanting to seek and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will help you. Allah will open the door for you. The question is this: am I truthful? Because many of us, yeah, we say, oh yeah, yeah, I wanna do good, or I wanna please Allah. But are we truthful? Or is it that we are either looking to please people or looking to please ourselves? Doing what I think, what I want, what I desire, without being willing to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wanting Allah's happiness over my own happiness. And inshallah, I'll wrap up with this. So one of the stations, going back to the book that I mentioned at the beginning, Madarij al-Salikin, one of the stations that Ibn al-Qayyim refers to is the station of irada. And irada is this desire or want for something. And he explains something very profound. Listen to this, right? He says that the station of irada, true irada, is actually to not have irada. What does that mean? To not have a want or a desire of your own, except for what Allah wants from you. So as they say, that this urid an la urid illa ma yurid, which means I desire, I want to not want except what Allah wants. Now, how deep is that? That is the essence of sidq. It is to want what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants without that interference of the nafs. Now, we are all imperfect and human, and these are stations that, you know, they're not like, you, it's easy to get there and then you just live there and, you know, you sit back and no more struggle. We are constantly struggling, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates the struggle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees every single one of our struggles. And so what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to bless us with sincerity and to bless us with truthfulness, but to make it easy for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it so that we want what Allah wants, and that the wants of our nafs and ourself do not become obstacles to seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, Husada, you always leave us speechless. And I feel like so many people in the chat are here resonating. I can tell by the number of questions I've received from the very beginning of the session. Usually people wait until the end to send their questions. And I see, mashallah, so many of them coming in. And I know you guys want to continue benefiting from Husada, but we're just going to have a quick pause, inshallah, to hear from the amazing folks at Forgotten Woman and my sister from another mister, Sister Sadia Sajid, inshallah. So Sadia Yasmin, hang tight, inshallah. We'll be right back with you for the remainder of our session on Sidq and truthfulness, inshallah. With that said, Sadia, it's your show, inshallah. Welcome back to Ramadan 360. It's been way too long, a full calendar year almost, I would say. Alhamdulillah, how have you been?
Alhamdulillah, very well, thank you. Jazakallah khair, and thank you so much, Ustada, for such a beautiful talk. It's a topic that's very dear to my heart, especially when it comes to Sidq, and we talk about Sidq in relation to Sadaqah as well.
Absolutely.
It's definitely something that I really do resonate so powerfully with me. So barakallahu feekum for such a beautiful topic. And I think it's something that we all need in these like blessed few days. We've only got a few more days left of Ramadan. And we need that. This is our spiritual sustenance that we actually need to consume in these days. So barakallahu feekum for this. And of course, as always, to Al Maghrib for always hosting such amazing things just as we need it as well. Barakallahu feekum. So I'm here on behalf of Forgotten Women, which is a charity that is based in the UK, but they operate across the world where they're most needed. And they're a charity that has been set up specifically to try and support women who are in desperate need and children. Now, we find that across the world, wherever there is a conflict, unfortunately, it's women and children who suffer the most. And they are the ones who, even in their most absolute depths of despair and vulnerability, they are unfortunately exploited against. So subhanAllah, this charity was set up to try and protect the sisters who are in their moments of absolute darkness and ensure that no one can further exploit that tragedy, subhanAllah. So it's a way of doing that by ensuring that it's women who are delivering aid to other women and supporting, inshallah. So it's a wonderful charity. I'm really, really honored to support them. And we are here to talk to you. Of course, it comes as no surprise about Gaza. And, you know, subhanAllah, Sister Yasmin has been talking to you about truthfulness. And so I feel like it's pertinent then that this particular session now, I also pull on the truth and speak with truth, inshallah. And I think it comes as no surprise that, you know, for the last 6 months, we have watched in horror as bombs after bombs after bomb has dropped on Gaza. We've watched as lifeless body after lifeless body has been pulled out of the rubble, as child after child has been murdered. SubhanAllah, we have watched as more than 35,000 innocent lives have been taken, and that's just what's been reported and recorded. We've seen statistics come through from Gaza. I can't believe people are even doing the maths for this, but it's truth that this is the truth. Two mothers are killed every hour and a child is killed every 6 minutes in Gaza. This is the reality. But it's also true that for all of the souls that have been wrongfully killed and taken from this world, they're going to be dipped into Jannah. And then when they're pulled back out, they're going to be asked, did you suffer in the world? And they're not even going to recall what suffering was. And that's what we hold on to. And that's what our brothers and sisters in Gaza hold on to when they... And it's their loss more than it's our loss. It's their loss more immediately. And they still say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, Alhamdulillah. They still say, Alhamdulillah. And so we should learn from our brothers and sisters when they are losing their loved ones, entire families being wiped off the civil register, and they still say, Alhamdulillah. We should learn from that. But it's also true that for all of those lives that are being lost, subhanAllah, and our hearts are bleeding for them, there are still 2 million people in Gaza right now, as we speak, who need our action, who need our love, who need our concern and our compassion. And they need us to give them our best, not our least, not our something. They need us to give our best, subhanAllah. Now, at the moment in Gaza right now, as we speak, 1 in 3 people in Gaza is starving. 1 in 3 people in Gaza is going without food. after 6 months of this systematic withholding of food, they are now being systematically killed. And alarm bells are ringing all around the world, subhanAllah. Alarm bells are ringing. All the famine watch societies and organizations are ringing the alarm saying, subhanAllah, if something isn't done, this scale is going to tip and we're going to start seeing catastrophic numbers of death. We're talking like up to 200 deaths per day because of starvation, subhanAllah. So when I say that, when we are asking you to donate, to give food to the brothers and sisters in Gaza, to our mothers and our children in Gaza, you are preventing a catastrophe. You are keeping people alive. Unfortunately, right now in Gaza, we know the situation is very, very difficult. But what Forgotten Women are doing is actually, subhanAllah, being able to give aid in a very dignified way. You've seen the aid distribution. And if you haven't, I urge you to go and look at them. There are aid distributions happening and the trucks are coming. And it's a throng of people, masses of brothers who are trying and fighting, subhanAllah, in their desperation to get the aid. Now imagine your sisters in Gaza. How are they supposed to try and make their way through that throng of people and come away with aid? How are the children supposed to do that, subhanAllah? It's unrealistic to expect them to be successful in those situations. It really is. Forgotten Women are actually giving aid directly to our brothers and sisters and our mothers and our children. It's putting it in their hands. And this is a pack that's not going to last for one day. It's not going to be like one hot meal distribution, which is fine to do, mashallah. It's good to do the hot meal distributions. But what about a food pack? That means that that brother and sister, subhanAllah, the mother, child in their tent who has been displaced multiple times over, is able to eat food for an entire month, subhanAllah. The pack that Forgotten Women are sharing, it is incredible. It's got food in it, it's got water within that, it's also got hygiene kits to make sure that, subhanAllah, at the moment in the camps, in the refugee centers, in the schools, in the shelters, disease is literally spreading like wildfire. So these hygiene kits are crucial to keep disease at bay and make sure people are still able to keep themselves clean. And then there's the dignity kits. And for our sisters on this call, subhanAllah, imagine 6 months without having the dignity kits that you need when you go through your time of the month. Our sisters are using tent scraps. They are wading out into the sea to wash themselves. You can give them that. And it's all into one combined pack. So Forgotten Women are doing this across the board in Gaza, subhanAllah. They are working with women in Gaza to make sure that this aid is reaching the sisters directly. And so our sisters are given the dignity that they deserve. They are given the aid that they deserve in the most dignified way. And it will last a very long time, subhanAllah. It'll be at least a month's worth of supplies. So for a month, they have ease and they have comfort. And subhanAllah, I've had people genuinely come to me and say, well, how can you guarantee that those people are even going to be alive? And it shocks me that people ask this question. SubhanAllah, life and death is in Allah's hands. We are not in control of that. But what I will say is, if it is written that those people who receive that parcel are to pass away the very next day and they don't get to consume it for a month, would you not prefer that in their last moments on this earth, they are met with our love and our compassion for them? That they got their last moments on earth, they had a morsel of food because their brother and their sister cared for them. And when we go back to Allah, because the death is going to come for all of us, without doubt, we are also going to be questioned, what did you do for your brothers and sisters? And if you had fed them, you would have found Allah. So I urge you all, please visit the website, make a donation. Even if you've given, I pray and I beg that you understand that right now we are seeing a catastrophic wave of inhumanity and cruelty being wrought asunder upon our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And so it's incumbent upon us to be a bigger wave of humanity, a bigger wave of love, and a bigger wave of compassion, and to show our brothers and sisters that no matter what happens in the world, our love for them, our humanity for them, is still there with our brothers and sisters. And we are not going to allow them to just pass away passively and just sit back and watch. The content that they put out there is not just content. It's there because they want us to act. So please act, inshallah. We've only got a few more days of this blessed month. Tonight could be the night of power. What you do today could be something that is multiplied as if you've done it for 80 years. And what could be better than being there the time of need for your brothers and sisters? Allah says, I am with the brother as much as he is with the Muslim, as long as they are with their brother and sister in their time of need. So if you want Ar-Rahman, and if you want Ar-Rahmeen, and if you want Al-Kareem, and if you want Al-Wadud, be that for your brothers and sisters. Our Prophet ﷺ was the mercy to mankind. That's who he came to be. And as his followers, we also have to be mercy to mankind. So let's embody our mercy, inshallah. Eid's coming up. Make a sacrifice for your Eid gifts for your loved ones and ensure that your brothers and sisters are eating rather than starving to death. You may have a holiday planned for this summer. Sacrifice your holiday. The greater your sacrifice, wallahi, the greater your sacrifice, the greater your reward will be. And this is what Allah is testing us with. When it comes to truthfulness, when it comes to our sidq is, are you truthful when you say, in our thousand, in our millions, we're all Palestinians? Because if you're truly in your thousand and your millions, you're with your Palestinian brothers and sisters, you will sacrifice everything that you've got for our brothers and sisters right now who need us. And this food pack is not just a food pack. Believe me, it is a lifeline that is keeping that balance scale at bay. It is ensuring that scale does not tip. And if we stop, then the scale will tip down. And unfortunately, we are going to see those catastrophic levels of 200 deaths per day. It's more than what we've been seeing already, subhanAllah. So the time is now. We have to act. We've only got a few more days left of this blessed month. So what we do now in our actions, inshallah, will be multiplied. And if we truly believe that the night of power is in these nights, why not seek it in the best way possible, inshallah? So I pray, inshallah, that you do as best as you can and give as much as you can and give it with the best of intentions that, ya Allah, whatever I give of my love, of my compassion, of my generosity, I'm never going to outdo you. So whatever I give today, I know that you're going to show it back to me manyfold, inshallah. So yes, you can give your zakat to this. It's not a problem. You can give your zakat. This is a zakat that is going directly into the hands of our brothers and sisters, inshallah. So I believe I haven't had a lot of time. I've only had about 10 minutes, but subhanAllah, I've also known for a fact, and I've seen this many times over, it only takes a moment for your hearts to become softened and to respond. So even if I've only had 10 minutes, I truly believe 10 minutes is more than enough time for the words to hit your heart and for Allah to unlock the hearts, because it's not my words that are going to do it. So I pray Allah unlocks your hearts and He makes you give as much as possible for our brothers and sisters, even if you've given many times over the last 6 months. This is the point where you're being tested for your truthfulness. Yes, you've given before, but can you make your answer better? And the answer is always yes, you can. So please give as much as you can and commit yourself. Because believe you me, even if everything was to end tomorrow, we need to be with our brothers and sisters long after all of this has ended. We need to be with them for decades to come to help them rebuild their lives. Jazakallahu khairan, barakallahu feekum.
Jazakumullah khair, Sister Sadia. As always, such a pleasure to benefit from you, from your reminders, and for tying that into what we've been learning and what we've been trying to practice throughout this entire month. You said it best. This is a test of our sincerity and our efforts and our truthfulness towards the peace of people of Gaza. Jazakumullah khair to everyone who's supporting here in the chat. Sadia, we look forward to seeing you, inshallah, again in the future. May Allah make it accepted, and may Allah maximize your efforts. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. That was Sister Sadia Sajid from Forgotten Women. As you guys know, Forgotten Women is one of our UK partners, our charity partners, and you guys have heard from her own words the impact that they're having on the ground in Gaza. Please do take that link. I know Faslina is dropping it and the chat keeps moving, but keep looking for it. It's launchgood.com/almaghrib-fw. It's in the YouTube description as well. And mashallah, it's just been refreshing as we've been in this session and seeing the impact that you guys are making. But I know with 339 of us here on Zoom, with almost, I think, 100 something of us on YouTube, as always, there's so much we can do as a community. And as Sadia said, if you've given, like, there is not the, just keep giving as much until you're depleted, honestly, at this point, because there's nothing that, no amount of suffering that we're going to experience that's going to equate to anything of the amount of suffering that the people in Palestine are experiencing. And I love that this is something that gives them some dignity for some time, that gives them some reprieve, because running around for food every day, not knowing when your next meal is going to come from, that's another form of psychological torture. So let's give them some relief. Let's give them some full bellies, some peace of mind, some take away some of that fear from that the horror that they've been experiencing, and reduce their suffering, reduce their fear, reduce their hunger, reduce their anxiety, and let us be the source of that, so that at least we can say that we did something, that we heard this call, that we were reminded, that we saw what was happening, and that we were not silent, and that we spoke up, and that not only we spoke up and we acted. So yes, we're at 3,000, mashallah. Now I don't know what currencies that's in. I know it's based on British pound, but keep going, keep pushing. Let's hit that goal today and then some, and keep supporting, because this is food, this is hunger, this is the basics of human existence. We cannot not answer that call. So please do so and keep doing so as we move on to the Q&A portion of this talk, and we'll keep checking in to see where we're at towards their goal. And again, once the goal is hit, that doesn't mean the hunger eliminates. So keep supporting, inshallah, even after that. With that said, I know a lot of you have sent in questions. So we will make sure that we do some Q&A today before we get a chance to reflect on today's beautiful topic. But I'm going to bring Ustada Yasmeen back, inshallah, for this portion. Welcome back, Ustada. I hope that you have benefited as well from that. It was such a beautiful tie-in to the talk that you were giving. But I'm trying to squeeze in as many questions as we can in this limited time that we have. So the first question that I have received is, how do we become truthful to Allah about where we're at when we're not sure about where we stand in our journey, especially if our iman fluctuates or if we go up and down with good and bad deeds?
Well, bismillah, the reality is that we all fluctuate in our iman and all of our deeds fluctuate. You know, there is the famous story where the companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anh and Hanzala came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, we've become hypocrites. And they were, they were panicking because why? He said, why are you saying that? He said, because when we are with you, O Rasulullah, it's as if we see paradise and hellfire with our eyes. But then when we go back to our families, you know, we're not in the same state. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you had the same iman, if you were the same in the exact same state as you were, you know, when you're with me as you are, when you're not, when you're with your families, then the angels would shake hands with you in the streets. So he's teaching us that part of being human, it would mean you're an angel, right? You're just that steady state. So part of being human is that iman rises and falls. And so all of us have that. But truthfulness is about being honest about who we are. What are our flaws? You know, what are the things that we really, really want? Irada, right? Wanting to do better, wanting to be better. And the truthfulness of that irada, the truthfulness of that desire is going to show up in your effort. Right? It's like, you know, all these motivational speakers who are like, you know, if you really want it, it's like, says, you know, I really want to get in shape. I really want to get in shape. But they never go to the gym. They never eat healthy. They, you know, they eat 12 donuts a day. They, you know, saying that you really want to get into shape, that's not truthful if it's not in any sense driving you towards any action. And so what it really is about just being truthful about that desire and that want. And with that truthfulness, even if we're lacking, and we are all lacking, and again, that's the lesson, we all go up and down. Iman goes up and down and deeds go up and down. But if we can just be truthful in our desire to be better and to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then be honest about where we're at, rather than trying to sugarcoat it or reducing dissonance, basically by justifying, you know, so a lot of people, what they'll do is, if I want a certain thing and it's haram, instead of saying, I'm going to try my best to resist my desire, yes, and even if I give into that, like say someone really loves alcohol and they just love the way they feel when they're, you know, when they're drunk or high. And you know, they can either, you know, and maybe they fall into that desire. Well, they can either say, you know what, I had this weakness and I know that it's wrong, but I know it's wrong and I know that this is a weakness. That person is gonna be better off than the one who says, you know what, actually, alcohol is not haram. Because, you know, and then they'll justify it some way or another. Or, you know what, marijuana, you know, like, so the idea here is that, are we able to be honest about our struggles? We all have struggles, but are we truthful about our struggles? Or do we try to make Islam be subservient to our desires? Do we try to change and twist the laws of Allah? You know, who is it halal to be in a relationship with? Who is it haram to be in a relationship with? And it's not determined by my desires. If I desire something, it doesn't make it right. And so being able to submit to what Allah says over what my nafs says.
Jazakumullah khair. Beautiful response. The next question that I have submitted here, if I can pull it up, is how do we how to practice not getting impressed by your own good deeds and ibadah that you do in seclusion?
So I have what I think is a good way to not be impressed by our own good deeds. And that is to recognize who we are being compared with. So if we imagine So I think, again, there are two sides of this, right? There are two dangerous extremes here, right? One dangerous extreme is ujub, which is to be impressed with myself. Another dangerous extreme is hopelessness and despair. Like, I'll never be good enough. Like, I can never do this. So I'm just going to give up, right? Two very dangerous extremes. Either I can never get there. You know, these people are so much better than me. There's nothing I can do. There's no way. So I give up. Or the other side is, look at me, man. Like, I'm killing it with my qiyam. I'm killing it with my Quran. I'm killing it with my hijab. Like, and then you start to become arrogant. Now, I think that the cure to ujub, to what you're asking, which is being impressed with oneself, is to recognize, if you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and imagine who is standing at the door of Allah with us, who is offering. So if we imagine that we are standing in front of Allah offering our deeds to Him, think of what I am offering Allah. So say I'm killing it with my qiyam, all right? I stood up and I prayed for X amount of time. I read the Quran, I finished the Quran. Okay, so I'm offering Allah this. This is my deeds, ya Allah. But now think of who's standing next to me. Well, I got next to me, I got prophets, I got martyrs, I got angels. like angels, they worship Allah so much that there are angels from the beginning of time till the end of time, just in sajda. Beginning of time till the end of time, just in sajda. Like, I mean, how much sajda can I do? And yet, when the end of time comes, that angel who was in sajda from the beginning of time till the end of time says, I have not worshipped you enough, ya Allah. This is actually not enough. So now, taking that perspective and now bring it to what I am doing. No matter how amazing I might think I am, it does not compare to an angel who is in sajda from the beginning of time till the end of time, or to a prophet, or to the martyrs, or to the, you know, the shuhada and the awliya. So that's one way to kind of humble myself, I think. Now, again, we can end up going to the other extreme and being like, what chance do I have? Like, who am I? I'm not an angel. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a wali. I'm just Yasmin. Like, I'm just me. So what hope do I have, right? And I think the cure to that is something different, right? So the cure to that type of hopelessness is not to look at what you're offering, because what you're offering will never be enough. I repeat, the angel who was in sajda from the beginning of time till the end of time is saying, we have not worshipped you enough. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Like, you can't actually give Allah what He deserves. It's impossible, because He's infinite and I'm finite and I'm limited. And so instead of focusing on the little broken piece of pottery that I am offering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of focusing on that, I focus on the generosity and the mercy and the love and the desire to give of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's shifting the focus. When I'm looking at my own deeds, it is to shift the focus to what Allah deserves, and recognizing there's no way that what I am giving is anything to be impressed with myself about. But when I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, like, nothing I do will be enough, so then I fall into despair, then you have to also shift the focus, not from your deeds, but to the generosity and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who, subhanAllah, is just listening to this hadith where it talks about what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we please Allah? How do we please Allah? And we're thinking like, what can I do? And there's a hadith that says that using a miswak, like, you know, like a little wooden toothbrush, it freshens your mouth and it pleases Allah. Something as small as a miswak can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Not because it's a big action, but because Allah is so generous and Allah is so merciful. And Allah is ash-shakur. Allah is appreciative of even the most minute action that is done for His sake, and bringing it full circle, with ikhlas, sincerity, and with sidq. And when you do an action with sidq and sincerity, if you do an action with your heart in the right place, even a tiny action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can multiply it, and it can please Allah. Not because the action is amazing, not because you're amazing, not because I'm amazing, but because Allah is amazing. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous, and He is al-Wahhab, He loves to give gifts. He wants to give us forgiveness. He wants to give us Jannah. You know, when we talk about seeking what Allah wants, and urid and la urid illa ma yurid, that I desire that I would not desire except what He wants. What does He want? Well, Allah tells us in the Quran what He wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yuridu Allahu bikumul yusr, that Allah wants for you ease. Wa la yuridu bikumul usr, and He does not want for you difficulty. So what does Allah want from us? In another ayah says, we were told that yuridu Allahu an yukhaffifa ankum, that Allah wants to make things easy on you. Wa khuliqal insanu da'ifa, that mankind was created weak. So if we look at what Allah wants ease for us. Allah wants to forgive us. Allah wants to make things easy on us. Yuridu an yaghfir lakum an yatuba alaykum, that Allah actually wants to turn to us and forgive us so that we'll turn to Him and seek His forgiveness. So this is what Allah wants from us.
Subhanallah. That was such a, I think the words in the chat can't even do justice. That was such a recentering approach. Jazakumullah khair for giving us so much extra time and being so thorough in your responses to the questions. I know there were so many other beautiful questions that came in, but just for the sake of time, we have to keep it moving so that people get a chance to reflect inshallah today and fully benefit from today's 22nd day of Ramadan 360. Jazakumullah khair, Sala. Once again, it's an honor as always to have you back with the community, back to recenter us, refocus us, especially right, you know, as we go into these blessed final nights of Ramadan. May Allah accept from you and your family.
I mean, and Hafsa, I want to end with something if possible. Mm-hmm. So as I was listening to the charity appeal, mm-hmm. A hadith came to my mind that I think is so relevant to the appeal and everything that we just spoke about.
Okay.
And that is that one of the seven people who are shaded in the shade of Allah, right? The shade on the Day of Judgment, where there is no other shade except the shade of Allah. And this is a very interesting description, which maybe many of us didn't understand. We heard it, we didn't understand it. It says a person who gives charity so secretly that his right hand does not know what his left hand gave, or his left hand does not know what his right hand gave. Now think about that statement. Your right hand and your left hand have nothing to do with people. It has everything to do with yourself. That description is describing sidq. It's describing what we were talking about now, that even the charity, your right hand doesn't know what your left hand gave, meaning that you're not impressed with yourself about your charity because you don't even know what you gave. Like, you gave it, but you're not watching what you're giving enough that your right hand doesn't know what your left hand gave. And subhanAllah, I was just thinking that one of these seven people who are shaded in Allah's shade when there's no other shade is this description of sidq, a person who gives sadaqah, like sadaqah. The word is, it shares that same root of truthfulness. A person who gives charity so with so much truthfulness that they themselves are not aware of what they themselves are giving, so that there isn't that ujb, there isn't that I'm impressed with what I've done.
Beautifully said. Jazakumullah khair, Ustada, once again for that amazing reminder, for being part of this community once again. We'll see you very soon, inshallah, online, either through your courses or hopefully, inshallah, in person as you're touring around the States this summer with us. For now, take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Ustada Yasmin Mujahid for day number 22 of Ramadan 360. And I'm glad that this session hit you as much as it hit me. Subhanallah, there is just something different about Ustada. MashaAllah, Allahumma barik. May Allah preserve her for us and allow us to continue to benefit from her for years and decades to come. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Yes, I know we want her to come to every corner of the world. And I love all the love that we have for her, subhanAllah, in the talk. And I hope that you guys who've been here from the beginning have benefited immensely from today's theme and the actualization of that theme through our efforts Minutes today with Forgotten Women. Once again, their links have been dropped here in the chat. Please make sure that you maximize this massive reward of feeding the people of Palestine in these last blessed nights, especially those of you who are in the UK right now, already in the 23rd night. Some of you are finishing or have just finished your 23rd night, and many of us are going into it. Mashallah, you guys have hit over 50% of the goal already. Please, let's keep going. Please share, as some people said, if you don't have the capacity to give right now, and or you've given already multiple times, please just keep sharing. Every time I refresh it, mashallah, the number ends up increasing. Let's hit at least that goal and then some, and let's make sure that we are, subhanAllah, it's crazy to me that you know, 17K, one, you know, I saw 100 something, 100 people can be fed for an entire month with 10K, subhanAllah. There's only 2 million some people in Gaza. If all of us came together as an ummah, I know it seems like big numbers right now, but subhanAllah, this is doable for us. So I hope that we take that as a real, like, for an entire month after 6 months of this hardship, I pray that we come together and we make this a successful effort. And please, again, keep sharing that. Today's Forgotten Woman Day here in Ramadan 360. Let's exceed their goals and let's make sure that we take care of the most vulnerable in our ummah, inshallah. With that said, we have a little bit of time left to continue our program, inshallah, and to reflect on the topic of Sidq with Ustada Taymiyah Zubair for day number 22. Ustada Taymiyah, it wasn't my fault. It was, I know the session was super
sore. Assalamu alaikum. It's no one's fault. Mashallah, the topic is so amazing. And
it was.
Alhamdulillah, Sister Sadia's presentation was so powerful.
Incredible.
Alhamdulillah, much needed. You know, you have all of these emotions and feelings, yeah. And you need to, yeah, be able to know how to channelize them.
Exactly.
So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward charities like Forgotten Women, who are working and providing us with the opportunity to do something here. Yeah. Because if it wasn't for them, what could we do sitting over here?
That's so.
And I think it's so beautiful that it's women who are helping women. Alhamdulillah. I absolutely love that. Jazakumullah khairan, Sister Sadia. Barakallahu fikum. All right, let's begin.
Let's jump in. Bismillah.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem. So the word sidq occurs about 155 times in the Quran in various forms. And as we learned, sidq is not just a virtue, it's actually a station of closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reward of those who obey Allah and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they will be with those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. And who are they? An-nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada was-salihin. And if you see here, siddiqin are mentioned right after the prophets. And siddiqin are people of truth. And these are people who are other than the prophets, and their station is after that of the prophets of Allah. Now, linguistically, the word sidq is synonymous to the word shidda. Shidda means firmness, okay, the strength of something. So sidq linguistically is when something is robust, when something is sturdy. And this is the nature of truth, that it is firm, it is strong, it is here to stay. Truth has a strength to it, which is why it remains. And its opposite, falsehood, lies, they're weak, right? They have no strength to them, which is why they get washed away over time. They do not last. And this is something very important to remember, because when we hear lies all around us, we feel this kind of fear that, you know, truth is being buried. People can attempt all they want. They can lie outright. And subhanAllah, it's so evident these days how people can just lie through their teeth. It's shocking that how can a person lie so much? But remember that lying has a weakness to it, because of which it cannot last. And truth has a strength to it, which is why it lasts. And truth is the opposite of lying. It is the opposite of deception. It is the opposite of hypocrisy, right? Now we see that truthfulness, sidq, is in one's speech, It is also in one's intention, all right? It is also in one's resolve and determination. And that means that when a person is resolved, they have the determination to do something, they don't waver. Truthfulness means that they don't waver, they don't quit. Truthfulness is also in one's actions, such that their actions align with the truth, they align with their speech. And truthfulness is also in one's adherence to the religion of Allah, all right? And this is mainly what Ustada Yasmin's speech was about, right? Being truthful to Allah and being truthful in your commitment to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we see in the Quran that truthfulness is described as a sifah min sifatillahi azza wa jal, an attribute of Allah azza wa jal. And this is one of the greatest, you can say, it's one of the greatest virtues of truth. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as truthful. This is enough for us to adopt this quality because Allah azza wa jal is truthful. قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ, say Allah has spoken the truth. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, who is more truthful than Allah in speech? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا, who could be more truthful than Allah in speech? وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ, Allah was truthful to you in his promise, right? وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, Allah and his messenger were truthful. The people of paradise will say, أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ, all praises to Allah who was truthful to us in his promise. So truthfulness is a sifa min sifatillah. Then we see that truthfulness is also a quality of the prophets of Allah. We see in Surah Maryam, Ibrahim alayhi salam is described as Siddiq. Ismail alayhi salam is described as Sadiq al-Wa'd, someone who was truthful in his promise. Idris alayhi salam is described as Siddiq. Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusufu ayyuha Siddiq, Yusuf, O man of truth. And Siddiq is not just someone who is truthful. Siddiq is kathiru Siddiq, and he's someone who is very, very, very extremely truthful. And what that means is that they're truthful in their speech, in their actions, and in all of their situations, but also that they are musaddiq, meaning they confirm the truth of what should be confirmed. All right? And this requires knowledge. Okay? You cannot confirm the truthfulness of something without having knowledge about it. Right? And it also requires al-amal al-salih, righteous action, because you cannot confirm the truthfulness of something just with your words, right? You have to prove it with your actions. So the prophets of Allah, they're also praised as siddiq, yani those who were people of extreme truthfulness. And then we see in the Quran that truthfulness is also described as a quality of those who believe. And the interesting thing is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers as truthful, he's not just referring to the truthfulness in their speech. No, it's their truthfulness in their resolve, in their worship of Allah, in their commitment to Allah. So for example, in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ, among the believers are men who were true to what they promised Allah, meaning they did not break their promise to Allah. Whatever commitment they made with Allah, they fulfilled it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse number 15, the believers who strive in the way of Allah, all right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ, those are the ones who are truthful. Who? Those who say that we believe, and then they have no doubt whatsoever, and then they strive in the way of Allah with their properties, meaning they spend their property in the way of Allah. They offer their services. All right, they strive bi amwalihim wa anfusihim fi sabilillah. Ulaika humus sadiqun. So truthfulness is not just in your speech, it is in your adherence to Allah's religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 177, about what real piety is. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. That piety is not that you just turn your faces towards the east or the west, all right? An outward display of piety. No, real piety is of the one who believes in Allah and the last day and the angels and the scriptures and the prophets and the one who gives his money in spite of love for it. Okay? وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. And he wants that money for himself. He loves it. But he gives it in the way of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, to who? To the relative, to the orphans, to those in need, to the travelers, to those who ask, and also for the freeing of captives. Those who establish prayer and give zakat and fulfill their promises whenever they make them. Those who are patient in times of hardship, in times of difficulty, and also in times of war. وحين البأس. These people, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. They're the ones who are truthful. So truthfulness is not just about what you say. That did you put the water over here? Yes, I did. Right? It's not just about your speech. It's also in your actions, in your commitment to Allah, in how you spend your money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the muhajirun in Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 8, that the fuqara, the muhajirin, those who were driven out of their homes, right? And they seek the favor of Allah, and وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, they help Allah and His Messenger. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Those are the ones who are truthful. And then we see in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be truthful. He makes it a requirement for success. So in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 119, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with those who are truthful. Because in this world, there is literally a war between truth and falsehood. And it is truth and falsehood because of which people will be separated. People will be separated on the Day of Judgment. Those who believe in the truth, adhere to the truth, are truthful to Allah, they are the ones who will be successful, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 24, لِيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدِقِهِمْ, that Allah will reward the truthful on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because of their truthfulness. Because they believed in the truth, they spoke the truth, they lived the truth, they remained committed to the truth, they were truthful to Allah, so they will be rewarded on the Day of Judgment. وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنْ شَاءَ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah will punish who? The hypocrites. If He wants, or He will turn in mercy on them if they repent. And then we see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions great reward for those who are truthful. The first is the fact that they will be with an-Nabi, they will be among the Siddiqeen, whose station is very high, right after that of the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 119, that هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ, that this is a day when the truth of the truthful people is going to benefit them. And what is it that they're going to get? لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. They will have gardens beneath which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, wherein they will abide forever. In Surah Az-Zumar, verses 33 and 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. The one who brought the truth and the one who confirmed the truth. So who is the one who brought the truth? The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who is the one who believes in it? Those who believe in him and follow him. Right? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Those are the righteous. Allah says, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They will have whatever that they want with their Lord. Because sometimes, for the sake of the truth, you have to give up a lot. You have to sacrifice a lot. You have to give up your own wishes. Now, I was just thinking about the position of the Ansar in Medina, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. That وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. That they would give preference to the muhajirin over themselves, even though they themselves were in extreme hunger. They didn't have enough to eat for themselves, but they couldn't bear that somebody else is going to go hungry. So in the seerah, we learn in the hadith, we learn about the incident where a family of the Ansar was hosting some of the guests of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they didn't have enough food. So what did they do in the dark? In the dark, they put out the lamp, and in front of the guest, they were pretending to eat. They were hungry themselves, and they were pretending to eat. Why? So that the guest would not feel bad that he's the only one eating. Think about it. This is truthfulness. This is sidq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Ali Imran, verses 15 to 17, about the reward of those who believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of their virtues, that they are as-sabirina was-sadiqeen, those who are patient and those who are truthful. And of course, there are many other verses that mention the reward of those who are truthful. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to be truthful. There's a beautiful hadith in which we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Shaddad ibn Aws a beautiful dua, in which part of the dua is that وَأَسْأَلُكَ قَلْبًا سَلِيمًا وَلِسَانًا صَادِقًا. That, O Allah, I ask you for a heart that is sound, and I ask you for a tongue that is truthful. Give me the ability to be truthful in my speech. And the beginning of the dua actually is اللهم إني أسألك الثبات في الأمر. O Allah, I ask you for steadfastness in all matters. Give me the ability to be steadfast in the matter of religion. Yani in my commitment to my deen, give me the ability to be steadfast. And that is your truthfulness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this beautiful virtue. And I'm so sorry, we had like a minute or two. Is it okay if we go past 6:15 today? Just
yeah,
a few minutes
let's take a few reflections. Because I want to hear, this is such a great topic. It's been such a beautiful session. Let's hear from a couple more people, inshallah, before we close. A couple of people. So I see Laiba's had her hand up. So Laiba, you go first, inshallah. And then guys, get your hands up as quick as possible so you can be next in line, inshallah. And just while we're doing that, remember, please keep that link in mind. I've seen the numbers slow down just a little bit. We're doing so well, mashallah, towards the goal. So please keep donating to launchcode.com/Al-Maghrib-F. W. Laiba, go right ahead. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Well, before today, I never knew that having such a deep, consultancy about this topic was very necessary for us. After having such a beautiful lecture on today's topic, I am so eager to practice this in my real life, inshallah, and try to be more truthful to what we learned today. But other than that, I was so happy when you say to me that Allah is truthful and He is truthful in His promises. Sometimes we do get a little bit overwhelmed by the surroundings and by the lying and oppressors getting more in this dunya, and being like, oh my God, what if like I could have that if I could be just a little bit more flexible with my Islam or with my training. But then you remember that indeed Allah Ta'ala is truthful in His promise. At the end of the day, it's Allah who's going to provide for you if you're truthful to Him, and He's going to be returning back to you and being truthful to you, because it's Him, Him being truthful in nature is what motivates us all Muslims to stay. So Jazakallah Khairan, that was a very needed reminder.
Welcome.
Beautifully said, Laiba. Zahra, you're next, inshallah. Zahra, go right ahead.
Hi, I was just wanting to emphasize on the point of truthfulness of what she was saying by going back to Yasmin's example of slavery, and what she was saying is what it reminds me of slavehood. And then it just reminds me of an ayah in the Quran when it said that my prayer, my sacrifice, my life, my death belongs to God. And there was a tafsir of Asar Khashaf al-Asrar, where he said that he who knows, what is that? His soul belongs to God, and a portion of him remains to other than God. So it's that. So when I was just doing the like, I was just thinking about it. The truthfulness is in us pushing everything aside and focusing only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing besides Him.
Yeah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Good. Next person.
Sorry.
Jazakumullah khair, Zahra, beautiful reflection. The next person we have in line. Oh, I saw Maheen, but I think I lost you. So we'll take Z from the Philippines, inshallah. Go right ahead, Z.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So I'd like to just share a short reflection regarding about being truthful. Is that being truthful always leads us to great things in life, such as Allah being with us no matter what happens. Like, no matter who oppresses us, no matter who tries to ruin us, as long as you stick to the truth, we'll always win even at the end. That would be all.
JazakAllah khairan. Barakallah feek. And those of you who are making fun of my microphone, I've had it since the beginning, okay? It just used to be here. And today I just moved it forward. That's all I did.
I was going to call it out too.
See it. Doesn't mean it's not there.
She sounds okay. The same. Oh, that's so funny. JazakAllah khair. Great reflections.
I thought I should settle this, you know.
Yes, before the fitna increases.
Although Abdulrahman's microphone is, mashallah. Sweet. It's mashallah. Lit.
Mashallah.
Literally lit. Mashallah.
Okay, let's take maybe one more person, inshallah. Yeah. I see brother, I think it's Al-Muntazir. Please go ahead, bismillah.
Hello, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. By the way, I am from the Philippines also.
MashaAllah, Philippines representing.
On my reflection regarding the truthfulness, it is also interconnected with the, what we call this, you are sensitive to others regarding how you serve the ummah, how you will consider even you have a little amount of money you can give to the others. So it is also to what we call this interconnected to the conservativity and also how to become a what we call this how to become you will that would be all I think.
You know what you said reminded me of, and inshallah we can end with this, Hafsa.
Yes.
It reminded me of the expedition to Tabuk in the Seerah. We learn about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged everybody to contribute whatever they could because the journey was long, and people were bringing in whatever they could. But among the companions, there were those who were not wealthy at all, and some of them would work as porters, literally. You know, or watering the fields, like actual physical labor for which you don't get paid a lot of money, right? And one of them worked for many hours and all that he earned was just a handful of dates. And he brought that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put that on top of the pile of, you know, all the things that had been brought as contributions. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a big deal out of it. It appeared to be small, but it was put on top, right? And the hypocrites were the ones who were mocking at the time that this is how they're going to go and defeat the Romans. But it's not about how much you bring. It's about the sidq of your heart, right? Your truthfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, ya Allah, this is all I want to do more, but this is all I can do, right? So bring that truthfulness in your actions. And with that truthfulness, a small deed will be counted as huge, right? A small deed will be accepted by Allah because of your sidq. And if sidq is not there, then even the biggest of deeds will not carry any weight on the Day of Judgment, right? We know about the man who will be brought to, you know, who will say who will be a reciter of the Quran, right? The man who was killed in the way of Allah, right? So apparently the one who was killed in the way of Allah, and the so-called shaheed. But these two people, they did what they did for fame, And they got that fame. They didn't do it with sidq. So those big deeds will bring them no reward, subhanAllah. So sidq is extremely important in every action of ours. All right,
Jazakumullah
Hafsa.
khair, Sada. Thank you so much for the final reflection for day number 22 of Ramadan 360 on the topic of sidq and truthfulness. Honestly, you guys have made this day very special, mashallah, from our speakers to the audience, to the way that you've engaged. So many great reflections I saw typed out in the chat as well. I can't read through all of them, but or read through some of the ones that really stood out to me. But mashallah, please keep sharing those on Telegram and through Padlet. And I love the love that you guys give to each other. It is, it's true. Someone was saying I instantly get refreshed whenever I come into Ramadan 360. I think Usada Taymiyyah was saying the same previously. Other speakers have said the same, is that they come in, they're tired, it's near the end of the fast, and then it's like a jolt of energy, subhanAllah. So Jazakumullah khair for building this community. And please, as we've said today is Forgotten Woman Day at Ramadan, in Ramadan 360. Please donate generously at that link, or drop it once again in the chat, launchkit.com/ there you go, Maghrib-FW. Please donate as much as you can. I know over the last few months that we've been all feeling like seeing all these horrific images, seeing, you know, families devastated, kids devastated. And all we want to do is we want to give them a hug. We want to give them some relief. We want to, you know, relieve their burdens and their harm and their pain. And this is a really tangible way we can do that, and an effective way that we can do that, not just for a moment, not just for a second, and then they go back into that same suffering, but to do that for a month, inshallah, with a month's worth of food. That's such an immense blessing that Forgotten Woman is able to facilitate. May Allah reward them and accept from them and make it easy for all their frontline workers. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen, because I know it's a huge struggle on the front lines right now in Gaza. And just do the easy part that we're doing here, which is just to give and to show our love and show our hug and show our care for the people of Palestine and our response to their calls by just feeding them for a little bit, giving them some hygiene kits, giving them a little bit of dignity as they try to suffer, as they try to push through for the and eradicate as much of the suffering as they're experiencing right now. So please continue to do so. I know some people might be waiting for their nighttime to kick in or their iftar to kick in. That's absolutely okay. But keep that link and share it with others. And let's, as a community, do something beautiful once again, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair once again for being with us for day number 22. Tomorrow we're going to kick off day number 23 of Ramadan 360. Another beautiful day, another beautiful talk, as we wrap up the final week with Sheikh Ammar Shukri, who's going to be back with us on the topic of excellence. I know Sheikh Ammar never misses, he never disappoints. So it's going to be another beautiful day. Please do join us for that. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. Make dua for the people of Palestine to be happy, to be healthy, to be safe, and give and donate generously to that effort and to that cause. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.